advertising is not, I mean, I guess there maybe are, there are cases where people create a need, but I think it's, I mean, you put up a picture of a billboard of a beautiful woman to sell makeup. It's not like women didn't want to feel pretty before they saw the billboard, you know, mm-hmm. like there is a desire to be pretty. Now, is, you could argue, is that a good desire or a bad desire? I guess. I think it's fine to want to be attractive.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's morally wrong. Okay, so if someone wants to be attractive and something exists that can make them attractive, it's not morally wrong to want it, nor is it morally wrong to get it. Why would it be morally wrong to tell somebody about it? Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast by young Catholics for young Catholics. My name is Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. That's just because we're the youngest around. There's
nobody
no
younger
than
us has started a podcast. We're like on, we're like the last people on the boat out of, you know,
we're the last helicopter out of Saigon. That's
we're the last. It's exactly we right. We're the last helicopter out of Saigon. We're the last cargo plane out of Afghanistan. It's us and nobody else. I genuinely believe no one younger than the age of 28 has started a podcast in the Catholic world.
There's no reason for them to.
I really genuinely believed when we started this comedy podcast for Catholic young adults to explain how to live the faith in a real and genuine way yet maintain a personality, that other young people would start one after us and usurp us. But no one has. No. Is it just because
there is a problem in the Catholic Church where we don't have competition? Like the competition,
right?
You know, it's like, oh, there's already a Catholic apologetics people, so I don't want to go be that people. Or there's already a, you know, Catholic youth minister thing, so I don't want to go, you know. Yeah. Why do we need another one?
Well, you'd think there would be some interesting people out there, but I guess it's just us.
We're the only we're the only interesting people left. It's a shame. Yeah,
it is a bummer.
Anyway. This is a podcast where we like to talk about topics of the Catholic faith, but like the catches we joke around sometimes.
Yeah. I was going to go on X, the everything app. By the way, Emma, it doesn't like it when I call it that. She says, why do you use the full name every time?
Because X is just not a
X
full
is,
name.
I don't know. You might not know what I'm talking about when I just say X. Oh, I was on X. What does that mean? Was I talking to my X?
X is actually short for Xenomorph.
From the Alien films.
Mm-hmm.
I was on Ecstasy. That's my first thought. When someone says X, I'm thinking, oh, you were at the rave last night. You hit the X.
In the club.
In the club.
We all fam.
I saw that in the theater when Adam Driver did that in Megalopolis. It's crazy. Just a crazy moment. Because there's nothing, no other moment like that in the whole film. That's the only time where it's like a funny. Anyway, I'm going to post on X, the Everything app. I'm going to post a picture of Nigel, number one, from Codename Kids Next Door, Caillou, Omi, from Shaolin Showdown, and who's the fourth one? And Aang from Avatar Last Airbender.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to say, 2000s cartoon writers normalized being bald the way that 2020s cartoon writers normalized being gay and lesbian,
being non-binary. My favorite TikTok meme now has been the that cow from the Netflix show, which is like, I'm also non-binary. I use they/them pronouns because I don't feel comfortable. And then it cuts to like someone grilling a steak.
That's kind of funny.
It's so good. And then back,
dude, something
black
on Netflix was funny. That's crazy.
On Instagram.
Oh, it was. I thought you said it was on Netflix.
No, it was on Instagram. It was on Netflix. The cow is like talking about how it's non-binary, and then someone on Instagram cuts to them just grilling and then eating a T-bone.
I see. Is that picture of Joe Biden cooking burgers on the grill?
Yeah.
I love that image. He looks. It's the last time he looked free and happy.
God bless him. I hope he's doing okay.
We wish him well. He's been through a lot.
They actually have him in Los Angeles in that White House where they filmed White House Down, and he's just they have like a little a little dashboard that's full of a bunch of pretend buttons where he pretends to be president, and he's doing fine. He's actually gonna stay there until he dies. They're gonna tell them that it's 2020. They're gonna tell him it's 2023.
Yeah.
Until he's gone. They're gonna keep sending in Zelensky body doubles to like ask for more money, and he's just gonna hand them a lollipop, and they're gonna be like, thanks.
They've trapped Joe in the room at the Truman Memorial where you have to decide whether or not to drop the bomb on Japan over and over again, and he just has to keep deciding, and he keeps guessing wrong, and they won't let him out.
Is this a real place? Some kids have to decide whether to drop the bomb.
Yeah, so some kids went for field trips. We never went, but I heard about kids at other local schools. It was a part of the local lore that if you went, because Harry S. Truman was from, I don't know, Kansas, Missouri, somewhere around where I grew up, and you could go to his, like, the Truman Library. I'm pretty sure this was in Missouri. I think Independence, Missouri, if I'm not mistaken. You go to the Truman Library, and they had, like, an exhibit for field trips where the class would get together and they would present all of the arguments, and then you had to vote whether or not you would do it.
The Japanese exchange student is just standing in the corner.
Yeah, they're like... Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. It's just the power. It's like when we had fake elections in school, you know?
Yes.
Everyone votes for Bush because he, you know, we all saw the footage of him with the
megaphone. We were probably split. One of the kids in my sixth grade class was so funny that he voted for Ralph Nader.
That is funny.
I was like, how do you know who? I had to like ask my mom who that was.
Yeah.
I was like, who is that?
It's
rolling up. They shouldn't have let us write in, though. That's
rolling up as a second grader and just handing a piece of paper that says Ross Perot to my teacher and then sitting back down.
I got 33% of the class to vote for him.
I'm pre-voting. I'm voting early, Mrs. Horner. I've decided. Did you vote already?
No.
In the election upcoming.
No, I did not vote yet.
Are you going to? You live in a very critical area.
Yes, I live in Brevard County, a swing county, in a no longer swing state. County.
Yes. Is it not a swing state anymore?
Not anymore. It's pretty red. It's pretty deep red now.
It's just red all the way through and through. Everyone's still talking.
Yeah, because a bunch of New Yorkers got old and got red-pilled, and they're like, we're leaving.
Are red-pilled or dead-pilled? One of the two.
Or dead. So
yeah. I've been reading a lot about Miami-Dade County.
Mm-hmm. The most Republican urban area.
Everyone's saying that Miami-Dade County is already leading red.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying it's going to be a big landslide. They're going to win bigly. What do you think? Do you think that's true? Do you think it's possible that Trump wins in a landslide or no?
I think it's possible.
That'd be crazy.
The polls are not good
for
the Democrats.
No.
Which is right, because usually they're good for the Democrats, because people who answer polls are not voting for Trump. You know what I mean?
Know. Like, I know.
Why are you calling me? Get out of my...
I'm worried. I don't want to get too comfortable, because I know that at any moment the Democrats can pull out their Barack Obama chia pet and rub the head, and they get a wish to go ahead in a certain
state. The thing that they got was they broke a story about Trump groping someone, and I'm like, guys,
we've done this.
It's not 2016 anymore. You know, you can't just play the hits.
Yeah. And they called him Hitler. That's what they did. It's like, he touched women inappropriately and he's Hitler. The two things that we've definitely never tried before.
I guess.
What are you thinking? Just from a strategy point of view.
I think I was thinking about this today, because I think it solidifies the base. I think that's what it is. I think they're doubling back, they're doubling back, and they're going, all right, we got to solidify the base, because that's the only way we're going to win. We can't lose people. And so it's just, let's just remind everyone how, let's do the Hillary Clinton game and just remind everyone how awful the alternative is. Like, that's the, because I was watching this podcast where this very, like, the best young guy that they have that's on the pro Kamala, like, actually pro Kamala person. I don't know his name, but he's, like, popping up everywhere in my feed. Anyway, but he probably didn't exist until, you know, 2016. He was on this podcast, and they were like, hey, say something, like, give me an argument. It was like a conservative podcast, and they're interviewing this liberal guy, and they're like, say why I should vote for Kamala without saying anything about Donald Trump. And the first 5 minutes was all about Donald Trump. He couldn't do it. He just couldn't do. He couldn't give a good reason to vote for Kamala other than she's not Donald Trump.
Yep.
Which is like, okay, so I think that might be the play they're going for. Last ditch. They've ditched the joy thing.
Oh, the joy is. Yeah. We're out on. We've been out on joy for a long time.
Kamala's yelling at her campaign manager.
Yeah.
Al Smith backfired. They're done. I don't. Yeah. I have a good friend. He's my cousin, actually. I say friend because I want to keep his anonymity. But my cousin is a very smart political guy. So whatever I say in terms of analytics, he's probably gonna be like, "Yeah, Pat, you were wrong." But I'm saying this so that he reaches out. What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah, what do you
I think the only way they derailed them in 2020 was they released a worldwide virus.
They didn't do that this time.
They didn't do that this time. Well, because I think Bill Clinton's hand probably hovered over the button to release COVID-2020, but before hitting the button, he just had a flashback in his brain and he just saw at a million frames a second all of the late night shows from 2020 and 2021, and he was like, I can't do it again. I can't go through another year of Stephen Colbert dancing with vaccines.
I can't go through another year of John Oliver without a laugh track. It's just sad.
Yeah, I can't do any more of James Corden. Well, and that was true actually before he even considered punching the button. He was just like, we can't do another button.
The button that says kill James Corden.
Kill James Corden. Dude, that would be amazing. I would love if we hit that button.
Not today.
So I don't know. I think it's difficult. I don't know. I'm obviously biased because I definitely don't want Kamala to win. But it's hard not to see the crazy momentum that Trump has with getting shot, surviving, and then getting Elon on board, getting RFK on board, assembling just this like great team, you know, all of the rising right wing populism sentiment. It does feel like 2016 again, but with like more media support and more money support than he had last time. The McDonald's event, it just feels like it did in 2016, but actually more, because I think people don't like Kamala more than they didn't like Hillary, which is insane to even think about.
Man, it could be, but that's because Hillary had so much. Like, I remember in high school, my friends had "I'm ready for Hillary" bumper stickers. Like, people were excited for Hillary Clinton to run for president. They were like, "She's got this," you know. My friends were making jokes like, you know, this will be the first time in history that two presidents have slept with each other that we know of, which I thought was funny. Like, people were anticipating a Hillary Clinton election. No one was like, after Joe's presidency's done, Kamala's right there in line. No one thought that.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I'm not convinced that nothing will occur, but I'm also kind of a nothing ever happens sort of guy. So part of me thinks it's like he's just going to win and then everyone's just going to performatively screech and then he's just going to be the president. It's going to be fine. But maybe I'm wrong.
That is kind of what happened last time.
Yeah. And then everyone, but they need him to be president again because that's where their power comes from, is they need something to whine and complain about for years and years and years. Yes. You know? Oh, that'll be so, it'll be good for them, actually. I want this for them.
Yes.
They'll be happier if Trump is president. I promise you. You've all been miserable the last 4 years.
Saturday Night Live is so much funnier when there's a Republican in office.
Yes. Well, everything's more fun.
A thousand times funnier.
You guys are more fun as the underdog. The left is meant to be the party of rebellion. It doesn't work when you're in power. It just makes you rude and weird. But if you're not in power, I'm fine with you attacking me as long as you're cool again. You know, just be cool and you can do your thing. I don't know. Yeah, I decided to stop smoking weed this week.
Dude, weed's on the ballot for Florida, and I'm not excited. I think it's going to pass, and I'm just really? Not. Yeah.
Prop 420. You're not voting yes.
Proposition 420. No, it's Prop 3. Yeah, we don't have props. We have amendments. But it's Amendment 3.
Amendment 3.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, we don't like vote on legislation. We only put like constitutional referenda to the mm-hmm. vote. But California votes on like every single law. They're like, yeah. Prop 34, what do you think? And it's like, I don't know, man. That's how California yeah. gets, that's how California gets laws passed. They're just like, let's just put it on the
yeah.
on the ballot.
It's like Carrot Top in there, all those props. Can't keep track of them.
That's good. That's Thanks. Good. I see like my Californian friends posting on Twitter like, hey, vote no on Proposition 69. And it's like, how do you have that many propositions?
It'd be hard pressed to get the majority of Americans to vote no on that one.
Just everyone writes in nice. You can't write in on a proposition.
Oh, Patrick's camera broke.
Again.
Welcome to our weekly segment where Patrick yells at his camera.
No, it's fine.
Even though it wasn't plugged in the whole time.
I checked. It's yeah. fine.
Hmm. What seems to be the problem, Clarice?
I don't know. Who knows? Who knows, man? Oh, hey, look at that. Cool.
It's going to cut out again. I just guarantee it. Give it 10 seconds.
It was weird. Remember, like, when I replugged it back in, it was fine for the whole dating corner?
Yeah, I do remember. Weird. It is very strange. If temperamental machines, these are. I do believe that demons inhabit different pieces of technology.
Yes. We're just spitting so much truth about... Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance wrote an article in the Post-Gazette, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, about all the anti-Catholic things that Harris has done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like... It actually wasn't as bad of a list as I thought. It's still pretty bad. Mm-hmm. But like being even keeled, a lot of it was like stuff that she's done that's anti-freedom of religion in general. But I thought it was funny because did you know that the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette writers are on strike? Did you know that?
How would I have known that? Who would know that?
Because they said J.D. Vance is a scab. He crossed the picket line of the longest running strike in American history. That's not something to be proud of. That means you're ineffective and no one noticed. No one noticed you were striking. I didn't know you were striking. When the dock workers struck, everyone was talking about it forever. If the Teamsters struck, the country would shut down. The newspaper writers strike? Come on.
It's not even the newspaper writers strike. It's the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette strike. It's like you're really? Not even the biggest newspaper in your town.
It's just the Post-Gazette. Man. Yeah, the Trib is actually bigger than the Post-Gazette.
We Pittsburgh News had a bigger reach than the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette did.
Oh, man. I don't know why J.D. wrote an article in the Post-Gazette, but...
Yeah. Let's see here.
Maybe Her it record. Was on purpose, actually. Maybe it was specifically to cross the picket line of that strike.
She attacked someone for being a member of the Knights of Columbus, which, that's to be right. fair, we have also done on this podcast. So that's... If that's a Harris, crime, JD,
you know,
lock me up.
Lock me up, man.
No, I think it's good to be in the Knights of Columbus. You're unfit to serve on the bench because of his Catholic faith. That's what Kamala said.
A religious test for office.
And then she condemned the Masterpiece Cake Shop Supreme Court decision. Hold on. Masterpiece Cake Shop Supreme Court. Masterpiece Cake Shop Supreme Court
Supreme
decision.
Court decision.
That's too
Marlon
many.
Brando.
9/11. The government should be able to compel Catholics to perform services that violate their sincerely held religious views. What to what limit? Where does that end? You're compelled to any service for anyone?
It's an abortion thing.
It's a cake baking thing.
Oh, the Masterpiece Cake Shop was Masterpiece Cake Shop was the gay weddings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mrs. Harris' legislative record as a senator was similarly antagonistic towards Catholics. She was an early co-sponsor of the Equality Act, a bill that would render the Constitution's protection of religious liberty effectively null and void. Interesting. Catholic churches have to host same-sex weddings, require Catholic schools to allow men to compete in women's sports. Da-da-da-da-da. This is all stuff from like years ago. She must not, I guess when she was vice president, she's probably not voting on things anymore, so that makes sense.
No, she's mostly a tiebreaker in the Senate.
Yes. And then she was supporting Planned Parenthood and the illegal trafficking of organs. You know, yeah, but a lot of this, I get J.D. Flynn, I get where you're coming from, but a lot of this is just like standard. Like if a Democrat wasn't doing these things, I would be concerned if I was a Democrat voter.
Yeah.
You know, this is like the baseline stuff for them these days is, you know, force the Catholics to bake the cakes and force the kids to be in locker rooms with people that are different genders. That's just part of it.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Ethan, I'm running into a bit of a problem.
Again?
I accidentally introduced my son Leo to television and movies. Uh-huh. And he wants to see Jungle Book so bad. He asked me like Jungle Book, and he's so cute, and I want to show him Jungle Book, but I also don't want him to be addicted to television for his entire life. Have you experienced this yourself?
Yes, my son really loves Peter Pan, and so every day it's see Captain Hook, want to fight Captain Hook. So we are deep in the minds,
same
of,
boat,
in the grip of 1930s Disney films.
They really got that stranglehold on.
They do.
I was thinking, you know, I was talking to Phoebe, is like, what are some ways that we can, you know, kind of, because it, one way to go is like, I'm going to cancel out digital stuff entirely, but you know, it's unrealistic. I want to like set up rules and stuff for my family, like some kind of structure that we can use and stick to.
Sort of like so a code to live by.
Are you familiar with any place that I could get such a thing?
Or a Benedictine monastery.
Yeah, right. A rule of life or something. Do you happen to know anyone who's had 16 children and could help me out?
I do. There's a guy named Connor who actually wrote a book about this very thing, if you can believe it. It's called The Well-Ordered Family. And contained therein is the Well-Ordered Family Management System. So it takes out all of the guesswork, all of the confusion, all of the how do I know how much time and energy put into this? How do I make sure that we got this taken care of? How do I invest for my children's future? In more ways than one, it's all there in the Well-Ordered Family, which I really appreciate.
Nice. And I believe they sent us a discount code for our our viewers. They can get 50% off the book.
Is that true?
That's a really solid discount, actually. So
hold on.
Go to wellorderedfamily.com.
I'm going there right now. Yeah.
If you go to wellorderedfamily.com, you put that book in your cart, and you use the code CRUNCH50, you'll get 50% off the book, which is great. You can go through the system, check it out, and then see what Connor has to offer.
Yeah, go to wellorderedfamily.com, and up at the top, you click Get the Book, and that'll take you to the book purchase page. Oh! And then coupon code CRUNCH. I'm applying 50. It right now. CRUNCH50. Thank you. CRUNCH50. And, oh, look at that. I just got 50% off. So my book just went from $24.95 USD to $12.47. So
huge. Wellorderedfamily.com. Take advantage of it now. Thanks so much to Well-Ordered Family for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. It's interesting though. I think the move on the Trump campaign has been very much the courting of the Catholic vote.
Mm-hmm.
They're really trying to pull it over. Which I'm like, I kind of liked not being in the, you know, I kind of liked it when they didn't give a shit about us.
Right. For a while, we could just
preferred that.
We just could exist, and we could be like, all right, you're going for the evangelicals. We kind of get that you're also for us too, but please leave us alone, basically. Yeah. Was the whole, you got the Al Smith dinner, and that's nice, and Father James Martin is speaking at the DNC, and there's a nun speaking at the RNC, and that's fine. We don't need anything else. Let us go. Let us have our Sunday donuts and our pro-life sausage sales, and leave us alone. Please.
I kind of liked being the politically homeless church, right? Like the both parties. I don't like one party going after us really hard. But picking JD and him writing that, and then the Al Smith dinner thing, they kind of doubled
RFK
down.
made a whole thing about Catholics in Pennsylvania. He made a whole ad.
Oh yeah.
That was like from the kind of a Kennedy-esque Catholic approach, like images of the old mass and incense and all these different things trying to appeal to people in Pennsylvania, which was that was also a weird thing to see, like a national, not a national, but like an ad that a lot of people saw.
Yeah.
That was like promoting the TLM. it wasn't the TLM. It was just the, you know, it just weird, like,
yeah,
strange things.
It's weird. It's weird to see this. Like, maybe you'd be able to sympathize with this. I don't know how many people could sympathize with this, because like when we were kids,
when we were a young boy.
When we were younger, like trad when we were Catholics.
When we were NBA young boy never broke again.
when we were young boys, trad cath was like a small subset of Catholic Twitter, and we would kind of goof on them. And, but now, trad Catholic is like something that is seriously discussed in meetings at the FBI.
Yes.
And also on liberal pod, on like Call Her Daddy and like big podcasts, you know, on the Rogan show, probably a better example than Call Her Daddy. But I've been seeing that show unwillingly all over the place. Is it Call Her Daddy or is it Call Her Daddy? I need a comma or a quotation mark. Are they asking me to call her father? Because I've been tempted.
Call,
sir, you see what your daughter...
Someone should call her father. I think it's Call Her Daddy. Like, her moniker is Daddy now.
I see.
Which is different. I think it's like a sex thing. I don't know. Call me anti-Semitic, but I don't watch pornography.
Apparently Orthodox Luigi came up with that joke.
I know. I saw that today. I thought it was amazing.
I'm mad that he's the one who figured it out, because I don't like him. I like
you
him,
don't like Orthodox
don't like
Luigi?
I don't like his Twitter. I'm like, dude, you converted to Orthodoxy like yesterday. You got to calm down.
Hey at Orthodox
Dude, don't start
Luigi.
Anything. Don't
no,
start
no, no.
anything.
Do you want to come on me and at Catholic Pats? Podcast.
I don't want him to come on the podcast.
You don't? You don't like him?
No, I don't want to talk to the Orthodox. I am so underprepared to talk to the Orthodox about whatever synod of Constantinopolitan.
I think
the third.
No, you're misunderstanding.
I don't know any of that because
no,
it's
we need
not
to, we
worth
need
knowing.
To, no, we need to get on the podcast together and we need to shake hands and we need to just bro out, because these guys are like our age and they're just like normal dudes.
Yeah.
And we need to have a podcast where we just do this the whole time, or we just BS.
Yes.
And have a good time.
I can.
I think that would do more to heal the East West schism than arguing about the arch patriarch's length of his beard and Christophanopoulos. You know, it wouldn't make any sense. Nobody cares about that, right?
The Archon of Constantinople says women shouldn't have driver's licenses.
I think that's fair. I think we can agree. There's common ground here. A woman almost hit me in the Five Guys parking lot today.
In her defense, I was stealing her burgers.
In my defense, I was using the DoorDash gift card that you and your wife so graciously sent to my email inbox.
Oh, nice.
You can pick up your own DoorDash. Did you know that? You can just order it and go get it.
Hell's the point of the app then?
Well, the app is there. I think DoorDash still gets a piece. So it's just like you don't have to pay any driver's fees or do any tip or anything. So it's cheaper if you're willing to go get it yourself, which
I
was like,
we got you a gift card.
You got me a gift card to DoorDash. Yeah, it kind of pissed me off because I was like, man, now I got to get him a freaking gift card. I didn't get anything for him when his baby was born. Now I got to feel
bad. Dude, I didn't know that you didn't get me anything. You could have just not said anything.
No, I'm an honest man. I didn't get you anything. In fact,
this is what Mark Barnes says. This is the problem.
I actively argued against it. I told my wife, no, I do too much for that man.
I'm writing emails every day. In my defense, it was
today,
my
I'm
wife.
Sorry.
So I, no, it was,
what did Mark Barnes say about money?
This is what Mark Barnes said about money. He's like, this is the problem with money is when money enters the picture. Now people's, now people's exchanges are valued. Where it's like, you know, I help you move and then you, you know, give me your old couch. It's like, what's the actual monetary value here?
Right. Or if you made me a meal and you brought it to my house, it's like much more difficult to price that out. And then be like, okay, well, I feel better.
Rather
if you just
like,
give me a gift card, then it's like, well, there's a dollar amount there. And it's like, oh man,
I have to
that means something to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that amount of money means something to me. And it's like, oh gosh, I feel like I haven't given you that much in my life.
But the money is different because, as we all know, everyone exchanges hours for money, and everybody's right. time is priced differently. Hourly workers versus entrepreneur versus bad entrepreneur, yeah. you know?
That is funny. Cause if you brought food to my house, I wouldn't think twice about like repaying you, you know?
Yes.
So I'd be like, oh, this is just a nice thing that you did for my family when my wife was recovering from being pregnant. Mm-hmm. Even if I didn't bring you a meal, you know, for like your birth, I'd be like, oh, I wouldn't even think about
thank
it.
You.
But because
yeah.
it's a number with a little squiggly line, man, it makes you feel guilty. So,
anyway.
So I'm just going to skim. I'll skim a little off the top for your pay this month from the crunch.
Cool.
A little off the top for you. A little cream off the. We got some raw milk for the first time this week.
How's the Listeria or whatever you get?
Dude, I didn't know this, but you can still smell the cow when you drink it. It had a bovine quality about it.
Gross,
it had,
dude.
I know, it had livestock aura, you know?
Yeah. I get
but
it.
It's gone away. I think it was just like when I first got it, it had just come from the cow. Like it had been milked that day. Mm. And so then I like smell it and I'm like,
that's fresh.
When you drink it, it tastes like milk. Tastes great.
Yeah.
Little lumpy, little chunky, but you stir that in. That's no problem. And it's actually been just fine. It hasn't been revolutionary in any way. Like I thought when I drank it, I'd be like, oh my gosh, it just tastes like milk. So if I get Listerine from it or whatever, I'm fine with that, but I don't think I will. I think I'll be okay.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. A lot of people drink milk before they invented machines. So I should be good.
Should be fine. But yes, I'll have Orthodox Luigi on the podcast as long as
all
we
right,
can just
I'm sending
hang.
The tweet.
Don't tweet, just DM him.
Orthodox Luigi and who else? Who's the other one that we should have on?
Super Christian Mario.
Yeah.
We should have Mario and Luigi on the podcast.
Yeah. Are they friends?
I mean, they must be. DM them in per... hey, are you guys friends and would you both want to come on
our podcast?
No, I've
seen them hang out. What's Christian Mario's handle?
At Super X... Super Christian Mario.
There we go. All right, I'm tweeting. Hey, at Orthodox Luigi, at Super XGM Mario, do you want to come on me and Catholic Pat's podcast sometime? Post. Just trying to generate some engagement. I just want people to notice me, man. I'm like the pick me girl of Catholic Twitter. No, that's Zach Mabry. Sorry.
I love Zach Mabry.
I like him too.
He's oh, I love him so. Probably step your game up. The election.
Oh, what do you want to say about the election?
Have we covered it? Oh, speaking of podcasts,
yeah.
I actually listened to a podcast with a politician on it.
You listened to JD Vance on Theo Von?
Yeah, and I was like, dang, he killed it. He did such a good job. The man said, JD Vance said, not to get political, and I bought it. He sold it. I was like, dude, you're a politician. What are you saying not to get all political about?
Not
why are you
all
saying
political.
That?
It's like that's a perfectly crafted four layers deep in the sauce, and he got you. It
was
a calculated
like,
appearance, and you got mixed up.
I was like, he genuinely sold this. It was good. It was by far, like I was like great move on his part. Because you know he got the jibe in a couple of times about you know hey Kamala's not coming on we've invited them, but yeah it is interesting to see popular like mainstream entertainers vocally supporting Trump this time around. That's the interesting part. That's why I think it might be a landslide is because that wasn't happening in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone in the comments being like, I thought this guy was supposed to be weird. He's normal.
He's a normal guy. It's strange.
I know. That's what people say about me when I go on podcasts.
I thought this guy was supposed to be an asshole.
That's what, not even when I go on pop. When I meet people in real life, that's what they say about
They're
me.
Like, oh, you're so nice. I thought you were gonna call me a jerk. Yeah.
Oh, I'm actually super chill and normal. It's just that you've been conditioned by JD Flynn in my replies that I'm a bad person.
You've been conditioned by the way that I phrase my tweets that I'm a bad person.
Yeah. All I'm doing is I'm trying to grow an X like my buddy Patrick, and I just can't do it right. So what can you do?
I think the hot take days are over.
Yeah.
I just don't have it anymore, man. I tried tweeting some, and I was like, someone challenged me on it. And I was like, screw it. I deleted it. I was like, I can't want to do this anymore.
No, it feels like playing the hits, you know? Like, you're washed up.
I was like, I just want to teach people, you know? I don't have a problem saying the same things
they're
over
like,
and
play,
over again.
Play smells like Teen Spirit. Play it. Burn. Come on, Dave Grohl.
The thing that I think that is more recent than the hot takes are the threads and the education. I do like that a lot. Like
I think the real thing is that if you don't become an entertainer by the time you're like 25, you just kind of have to pivot to being an educator because there's no other way to consistently make content.
Yeah.
There's no way for me to consistently be entertaining out there. So I guess I just have to teach. And now I'm spending all my time reading books about freaking digital marketing. And that's all I'm learning about. But nobody who follows me wants to talk about digital marketing. So I just have nothing to talk about because I'm not reading theology or apologetics. I'm talking to you about the election. You know,
well, why don't you talk about digital marketing through a Catholic lens?
I have thought about that, but it does make me want to leap off of a tall building.
It does make me want to die. So maybe not. I think there's a lot of interesting questions you could answer through that.
Oh, like, sure.
The new poly guys are anti-advertising. They're like, advertising is morally wrong. Ethan, help, I'm drowning. I need to find land, perhaps an island, a Greek island, to find safety, both in physical and digital security.
You got your little flippers on?
You got a little snorkel? Swimming? I'm like, help someone find me. I'm swimming in an ocean of privacy violations, and I need to find a haven in this digital ocean.
You're the type of guy that would go on an excursion in the Mediterranean and the boat would leave you behind. I just need you to know that. I hear you. I think the internet is getting more and more pernicious. They're making robots that talk and walk and pour drinks.
Pour beer.
And it's getting to be a little bit much. I mean, we're going to Mars, but at what cost? You know what I mean? And I think that each American, especially in the coming years when it's going to become illegal to be Catholic, we deserve our privacy. We deserve to be protected from government overreach and big companies that are spying on us, trying to target us with ads, trying to get us to spend our hard-earned dollars on their junk instead of on investing in a beautiful future for our families and our friends. Patmos Hosting Solutions can solve that. Not only do they protect you from big tech, not only do they provide a one-of-a-kind integrated hosting solution for your business, for your website, for your platform, whatever it is you need, but they will never censor you. They'll never take your data, even if they 100% disagree with you. Even if they think you're the worst person on the planet, they have that integrity, and that's what I really love about Patmos.
Yeah, Patmos has really helped us out over the past couple of months, setting us up on our website. We are believers. We practice what we preach, and so our podcast is secure on Patmos servers, free from any kind of external intrusion that might occur. And they got a great team. They'll walk you through setting it up. It's one-on-one service, which you're not going to get on any competitor web hosting services. You go to your whatever, your Wix space or your Wordly, whatever. They're not going to host your web. They're not going to walk you through hosting. You're going to have to set up some kind of nonsense. They're going to walk you through it. They're going to help you out. They're great over there.
If you tell them that we sent you, you get 10% off. Go to patmos.tech. Let them know that we sent you. Thank you to Patmos for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. That's so stupid. How?
And I think there's, you know, it's, I think they start with a couple of faulty premises because I think they're talking about advertising.
As if it's inherently manipulative.
Yeah. And I think there is a type, I mean, it's the same way that like people don't like salesmen. you know, because they think that, oh, well, the only reason why you need to be there is because it's like your product mm-hmm. is self-evident, so therefore it's not worth it. But it's like a salesman is like a coach, you know, right. they help you see past like the BS that you're telling yourself, like, oh, this won't work right. for me, this doesn't work, you know, and they
let's
help
say
you
I
find
have,
the right thing.
Let's say I have a home and my hot water tank breaks and I don't know how to fix it. And I go to Google and I say, hot water tank fix, Oklahoma City. And the first result is plumber, hot water tank repair, be there in an hour or it's free. And I click on it and he comes to my house and I pay him and he fixes it. My family has hot water. How is that bad? That's advertising. I found that guy because of an ad.
I think the new quality guys would rather you not have a hot water tank. No, I'm just kidding. I think
probably.
I think it's
know a local plumber that I can call that will come and fix my thing for a bag of bread. You know,
so, yeah, something like that.
I would also love for you to wire $1 million to my bank account. Thanks. If we're gonna live in the world of pretend magic, then that is what I want too. You know,
and I think you can say it's. I might be misrepresenting Nathan. Fact check, but it's you know, it's possibly remedial. But I mean, there's other like, would it have existed before the fall? Like letting people know about things. You know, I think yes. I think it would have. And there's like people get this way about Instagram and short form content.
What about they bemoan. Is that their metric is things that didn't exist before the fall?
No, that's my metric. It's like, would this have existed had we not fallen? I don't think it's an unfair question. I think it's like, how would this have existed before the fall?
I was about to say, you better strip down, buddy boy, if that's your standard.
Yeah.
This is going to turn into a different type of podcast.
Wouldn't have a Kohl's, you know. wouldn't be getting
Kohl's is
up.
A punishment for the fall. That you don't talk about that enough. Just a huge, understaffed, unorganized pants that cost $60 that don't.
There's
fit.
A Sephora in there for some reason.
Your mom is there, and you have to get shoes for the school dance, and your little brother is on his Nintendo DS.
And they're playing Smells Like Teen Spirit on the
They're playing Smells Like Teen Spirit on the radio, and all you want to do is you want to text the girl that you like, but you can't because your mom is like, pay attention, we're getting slacks. Because
you don't have an unlimited texting plan because the year is 2010.
Dude, I just watched the movie BlackBerry. I learned all about what happens behind the scenes. I recommend it. Carry on, you were talking about the fall.
Yes, it's like letting people know about things is fundamentally what advertising is, and like communicating it in a way that I think doing it well, right? I think the way the perception of advertising is like communicating it. Oh, this is what the problem is. They have a problem with creating a desire that is not there yet. So like at the point of advertising is to, they see it as creating a desire that isn't there. Like, oh, don't you want to look pretty?
Faulty premise.
You need a faster car. Like you don't you hate going slow? Don't you hate not being able to suck up all the dirt in your carpet in 20 seconds? Like the vacuum, right? Like no one needed
I know.
The vacuum.
I figured it wasn't a guy with a straw that came over to your house and sucked up all the dirt.
No one needed the vacuum until everyone had a vacuum, and now everyone needs a vacuum, you know? And so they're saying like advertising creates needs that aren't there. And that is true. Like technology does determine society. Like no one needed a car until everyone had one, and now everyone needs a car. And that's like advertising plays a part in that. But I think, let's say, good advertising prior to the fall, I think that's a good thing. Like good advertising, good marketing is about communicating something that is a pre-existing need. Finding ways to serve a need and fill it. Like in the movie Robots, see a need, fill a need, baby. Rodney Copperbottom, the GOAT. Man. The best Blue Sky Studios production ever.
Shut up. Never say that to me again. You know that Surf's Up is a Blue Sky Productions film.
It's not. You know,
it is.
It's DreamWorks.
No. Look it up.
It isn't?
Look it up.
Who produced the movie Surf's Up starring Shia LaBeouf and Chicken Joe?
Okay.
Oh, it's Sony.
All right, never mind.
It was Sony Pictures.
In conjunction with
with Your Mom production. Surf's Up, a major ocean picture, produced by Chris Jenkins, Studios Columbia Sony.
Control F, Blue Sky.
Followed by Surf's Up 2 in 2017.
Yeah,
did you ever see that?
It's not worth a watch.
WWE Studios.
I love the Worldwide Entertainment Network.
That's a 30 Rock. That's a 30 Rock credit. Like produced by the Cooking Channel Studios.
It's weird that 30 Rock, 30th Rock from the Sun.
Yes, that's what will pop up every time I try to find 30 Rock on Netflix before it came on Netflix. But yes, so I think that's a better representation of New Politi's stance on advertising.
That's fair.
I do get it.
I just think it's wrong. Advertising is not. I mean, I guess there are cases where people create a need, but I think it's. I mean, you put up a picture of a billboard of a beautiful woman to sell makeup. It's not like women didn't want to feel pretty before they saw the billboard. You know, mm-hmm. like there is a desire to be pretty. Now, you could argue, is that a good desire or a bad desire? I guess. I think it's fine to want to be attractive.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's morally wrong. Okay. So if someone wants to be attractive and something exists that can make them attractive, it's not morally wrong to want it, nor is it morally wrong to get it. Why would it be morally wrong to tell somebody about it?
Yeah.
That's a syllogism. Dog.
You just got syllogized.
But I'd be interested to talk to him. I'm going to tweet at Mark Barnes. Do you want to come on the podcast with me and at Catholic Pet? That would be an interesting conversation. Time. Yeah. But yeah, maybe I guess I could talk about digital marketing from a Catholic perspective. It just sucks because I'm learning all these things about like how to sell ideas and things, and then I can't get more than 20 likes on a post, and I'm like, oh, stupid. I'm a fraud hack. And then
you
I
gotta
stay
expand
up
your
late
time horizon, night. Man.
I'm trying, but the time horizon keeps shrinking.
People got this way about cold calling, right? I mean, that's why that's why people who go through training at DE don't stick. It's because they try cold calling and they feel icky.
Yep.
But it's like once you have a few experiences of like someone calling and be like, thank you so much. I really need this.
Yes.
You go, oh, cool. I'm a good guy. You know, like you're people are like excited to meet with you. They meet with you and they love what you're selling and they buy it. And you're like, oh, cool. Like, I just need to go find the next person who loves it. And so the next, if a person hates it, whatever. And it's the same thing with, like, people have perceptions of something being, like, morally wrong. And part of it is because they conjure up an image of what it's not. People do this with Instagram, too.
Don't you know this,
people's
Patrick?
Attention spans.
Morality is based off of whether or not I like the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I don't like it, then it is immoral. Duh.
Yeah, it's people do that with Instagram too, like, oh, it's short, it's people's attention spans are shrinking. But then, you know, it's like that's true, but now you have politicians going on long form podcasts and that wasn't happening a decade ago, you know.
Right. It's actually the politicians that are making the TikToks are doing worse. So what does that tell you?
Yeah. It's no longer a soundbite. You know.
As far as I know, Donald Trump has made one TikTok this whole election cycle, and it was with Aiden Ross. So
that's crazy.
I know. Kamala's out there posting like a maniac. She's trying to. I don't know what she's doing.
There, Kamala is downstream. That's it. Like it's like what we talk about the Catholic Church.
Trump
like
is upstream.
He's upstream of. He's a guy that creates. How I feel when I post something on Twitter, that like starts a discourse.
Yeah,
it's so much different than when I post something that's about a discourse. The tweet does so much better.
Yeah,
because people start. You know, I post something about confession, and I see some random priest that I've never interacted with but follows me goes, "Oh, when people complain about confession, I'm like, aha, I gotcha.
You found
I'm in your head. I'm in your head." And now it's like the opposite. It's like that's where Trump is. Like he creates the tweet, and then the news cycle talks about it for a week. And Kamala's the opposite. She's like reacting. She's like, I'm gonna do a fan edit of, you know, me being super cool, like all of the conservative groiper guys do with Trump. But it just doesn't feel the same because it's like not, you know.
Yes. Oh, I have many thoughts about all of this. Well, I guess I'm gonna take all of the books that I'm reading and incorporate them into my a Catholic ideology and just become the most insufferable person to talk to. So
it is hard. It is hard to watch. It is hard to watch when someone goes like, "I'm going to take this from a Catholic perspective, and I'm going to do this, but it's going to be like Catholic." Because basically, what you're saying is, "I'm going to do this, but for an audience that has less money and is less willing to pay for things."
I know. It just makes me kind of want to divorce from the whole and just like be in digital marketing Twitter, which I probably could be, but.
Yeah, you're in the right. You're in the right. You have access to a circle that could.
Yeah.
I do. I that's how I've been kind of I talked to you about this on the podcast last week. It's like, I've been thinking about, you know, this, I want this to be a thing that we do gratis, you know, that we do as we can produce really valuable things that are high quality Catholic education for, you know, maybe free one day. We just give away books and courses and nonsense.
I would love that. I would also love to do it for millions of dollars. So who's to say
that's
which
the
one
trick.
Of us is
do
right?
We do what? Ooh, yeah.
Do
what
we do it for free or do we do it for lots of money?
Tell us in the comments whether you would like to give us zero money or a million money.
I think this is a good place to wrap it up for this week because we have a dating corner to record. And I want to get those people the advice that they crave.
Yes.
And that's an ad. That's an ad. I just talked about a different podcast that I do. And if you're interested in dating content, it's immoral for you to go and listen to that show.
And I think we should, I think this week we're going to have a bonus question that's only going to be for our patrons.
That's good. That's a pretty.
It's going to be in addition to the bonus show. So if you want access to that bonus question, it's going to be a good one.
I'm just thinking about the new Polity guys going to a mall, like their ideal mall, and there's just like no signs and nothing in the windows because advertising is not allowed. And so they have
Honestly, that'd be great.
I think that would suck because I wouldn't know where the GameStop is, Patrick.
I wouldn't know what new games are being released.
I wouldn't know where the Pac Sun is so I could get cool clothes at Billabong.
I wouldn't know where to get Quicksilver or Quicksilver 2, which is just Roxy. The two. You ever notice that? The Roxy logo is the.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh.
Where TF is Auntie May's Pretzels, RN?
Yeah, you can just
I can smell it, but I can't find it.
Is smelling advertising? They pump that cinnamon. They pump
it. They do. Like it's going out of style.
Oh, my gosh.
Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Pro tip, if your trash can smells, throw away your cinnamon jar. Like, just throw some... It masks every smell. And it makes your kitchen smell like gingerbread.
Just put some cinnamon in it. You don't have to throw away the whole... Just put it...
You have to throw it all away. You have to commit.
You have to throw every time
sacrifice
your trash can
the
smells,
cinnamon.
You
can't...
Exodus. A prescription for sacrifice. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you all next time. Bye.